Welcome, everyone. Sorry about the little delay there. These things are never quite as easy as they seem like they're going to be. My name is Dave McKay. I'm calling you from the Zen Monastery Peace Center here in Murphy's, California, at the end of a absolutely gorgeous, sunny California day. I hope things are well and that you're well where you are. I want to thank you, first of all, for being on the call tonight. We're really excited about this possibility, and we can't really say it's a brand new possibility because, you know, there's the radio show, and we've gotten pretty adept at doing sort of conference call style facilitation, especially with the Reflective Listening Buddies program. But this thing that we're doing tonight, this workshop, is in a way sort of a first, and so we're really excited about that. We're also excited. There's actually quite a lot of people out there, I think, who are participating tonight, and it's just fun to have so many people from across the country and even across the world all getting together tonight to do a workshop. So a few business things here before we begin in earnest. The first thing I need to tell you about is how to participate. This went out on email too, but I'm going to emphasize it just so everyone knows how to get on the call if they want to. So you are all now muted, and we do that obviously to cut down on the background noise. If you would like to participate in the call, and I very much encourage you to do that if you're at all inclined, then what you do is you hit *6 on your phone. Now, what you'll notice is there's a little delay that happens. You hit *6, there's a little recording that happens, then you come on live. So if you wait till the last second, right when you see an opening to try to get in the call, you're going to be too late. So what you can do, as long as there's not a whole lot of noise in the background where you are, like traffic noise or other kinds of things, then when you know you want to participate and it looks like it's getting to be a good time, you know, maybe I'm finishing up talking with someone, then you can go ahead and hit *6 on your phone, bring yourself live onto the call, and that way you'll be ready to jump in when there's an opening for it. And the way to jump in is just to say your name. Say, hi, this is Dave, and then I'll hear you and I'll recognize you and I'll say your name, and then we're ready to go. Now, there are quite a number of people on the call. It could be that it gets a little bit confusing in the transitions in between people because there might be two or three people trying to get on at one time, but I'll do my very best to give everyone a chance to speak who wants to speak tonight, and we'll go from there. A couple other things about, I want to say something before we begin about the privileged environment. Most of you probably are aware already of what I mean by that, but for those of you who might not be, everything we do in this practice, we do within what we call the privileged environment. The privileged environment is just it's an environment where we can feel safe, essentially, to be who we are and to let down our defenses and see what's going on, see what's going on inside. And, you know, when people come here to the monastery or to other places on retreat, we have very extensive structure to create and maintain the privileged environment. Luckily for us tonight, it's not going to take all that much because we're all in separate places. There are some things, though, that I would ask from people as we go through this process and we, you know, begin to talk. The first is, if you could please speak in terms of your own experience always. It can be tempting sometimes to refer to what other people have said, to give advice to people or, you know, those kinds of things. But we would ask folks not to do that. Instead, you can just speak in terms of your own experience. Now, if something someone has said really, you know, sparks something for you and you really see something as a result of that, it's absolutely okay to talk about that, but you'll just be talking in terms of your own experience. You won't be talking about the other person who just spoke. You won't be offering suggestions or advice, any of those kinds of things. And that's really all we need to do on this call tonight in order to maintain a privileged environment. So in a moment, we'll begin. An email went out that gave you a little homework assignment in preparation for this call tonight. Hopefully you got it. It's along the lines of, what sort of voices have you been hearing lately? What in the heck have they been saying? And in particular, that, and in addition to that, what have they been saying about the possibility of getting support from Sangha, like this call or all the other kind of things that have been going on in practice? So that's the nuts and bolts. I'm going to open up now to anybody who would like to share about that. So what did you notice about the assignment that you did? And a reminder to hit star 6 on your phone in order to participate.
Hi, Dave. This is Sandy.
Hey, Sandy.
Hi. Well, I found this exercise really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because I think part of the process that I went through and the voices I was hearing and are kind of always been separate in my mind, and having to sort of answer these questions kind of made the dance a little more obvious.
I see. Let me make sure I understand you. So it in the past, it seemed like the voices that were going on, that were talking to you, and the processes that you're going through in your life, they seem separate to you. But having to put it together in this way, it made it a little bit more obvious what was going on.
Yeah, I could see it more as one dance instead of, you know, just different separate things. So, So when I tried to say, well, who's talking to me, it's kind of a voice I'm very familiar with, and I call it the one who knows.
The one who knows.
And yeah, and that voice is just the final word on everything.
Uh-huh.
And it often uses, like, quotations or candy little catchy phrases that someone else has said who I give a certain amount of authority. You know, it could be my mother who's the ultimate authority, or it could be, you know, some guru somewhere or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a very familiar phrase, it says. So it says, so I'm thinking about, well, do I want to sign up for this, or do I want to join in that, or whatever. And the one who knows says, when you get the message, hang up the phone.
When you get the message, hang up the phone.
Yeah.
I didn't quite follow you there.
Okay. That's the quote. That's what it always says, or often says.
Okay.
And it kind of means that there's nothing new here. I already know what.
I see.
You know, I don't need this. It also kind of has a meaning of enough is enough.
Yeah. So it's not just the voice that knows, kind of in the way that, you know, somebody who just knew a lot of stuff would know something.
Right.
It's the voice that knows why you need to not participate and stay in the same old ruts that you're always in.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But, of course, I don't think of it that way. I think
of
it like...
No, of course not.
Well, yeah, that always makes me stop and think, yeah. Well, kind of in the way that there's an end point to this whole process, and that, you know, you're probably close to it. Maybe this is the end point. You don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah, you don't have to do
that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It really, now I understand what you're saying when you first started talking about how it all, it's like it's seeing what's going on. It all really comes down to one thing, doesn't it? Which is a campaign on the part of this thing that we call conditioned mind to cause you to suffer. Now, you know, the word suffer might seem a little bit extreme in this case because, you know, you really haven't described something that, you know, sounds like it'd be terribly difficult, but I bet if we kind of followed that voice, and if you were to go with the program of that voice, then you would suffer. You would end up separate from what you really wanted in your life.
Right, but already, you know, it's kind of, that's why I say it starts as this sort of innocuous sounding, or just, you know, well, here's sort of a voice of truth or authority, like, you know, well, maybe you shouldn't, don't need to go there or something.
Yep.
And what starts to happen, the suffering, I think, comes from I engage with this and I can't make up my mind, and I'm on one side, then I'm on the other. And I think what goes along with that is a belief that I actually will decide this based on what I'm thinking about.
Right, exactly. That's the bait, isn't it? Because you might be going along, you know, feeling absolutely fine, being really present, really being here in your body, in your life, everything's fine. You know, mm-hmm. conditioned mind needs some way to get you out of that, because conditioned mind lives on your suffering. So, you know, and for each of us, you know, our voices, they know exactly what we'll believe. You know, if your voices said what they say to you, to me, I'd go, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Because
right.
they're not tailored for me, but for you, they're perfectly tailored for you. So that voice that comes in and says, well, you know, you really don't have to do that. That's,
yeah.
there's a, that's kind of the lure out of being here, present in your body, into the world of conditioned mind. And once you make that one step, then it's gotcha. Like you say, there's a back and forth, you can't decide, and you're trapped in a world that, you know, once you make that step, it's really hard to get out of.
Right. And, and you know, so there I am, you know, whirling around with this, and then I heard another voice, which I think I'm paraphrasing something that I thought I heard Sherry say, which is any voice in your head is conditioning.
Uh-huh.
And that seemed to just drop in there like a little present.
Yeah. I'm guessing you caught that it was a voice that said that.
Yeah, but it gave me a little, I stopped and I just said, it made me remember that I actually, my direct experience is that I never make a decision from my head, that it comes from a whole nother place.
Yep, it absolutely does.
And so then I thought,
the voices.
Yeah, and then I thought, well, why am I talking about this then? Mm-hmm. You know, just trust that if I don't engage with this whole debate kind of thing, like, is it true that I've gotten the message and I should hang up the phone, you know, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
then it'll just come what I'll want to do.
Yeah, and you're really fortunate in that you can see or hear these voices, and you can hear them as voices. You know, it's so perfect when a voice says, hey, Sandy, any voice in your head is conditioning. You know, it's just so perfect. And what you're not supposed to catch on to, hey, wait a second, that's a voice too.
Yeah.
But being aware of that as you were, you say, wait, you know, why in the heck am I listening to this? It actually doesn't get me anywhere in my life. Like you said, you've never made a decision from that place. Or at least a good decision, a decision that really took care of it.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess that's what I mean. I mean, it's never the one that signs me up for a retreat. It's never the one that signs me up for reflective listening buddies. It's never the one that, you know, et cetera. So it was like just I got to remember that for, and in that moment it was like, ah.
Yeah, it's great.
You know,
and
like,
it's so good
freedom.
To know. Yeah, freedom, exactly. And it's so good to know, like you were saying earlier, that, you know, it really comes down, in a lot of ways you could say, it comes down to one process, which is conditioned mind attempting to pull us out of the moment into the world of conditioning where we can suffer. It really just comes down to that. And understanding that, it just gives us a huge leg up on the whole process because it's true. You know, the voice that's speaking to us is conditioning. It has no agenda but to cause the suffer. There's this whole other place that we can live from where we can actually respond to life in a way that takes care of us. And to know that there are those two choices and to be aware of what, you know, what these voices are and what their agendas are is, you know, as you say, it's that's the big step towards freedom.
Yeah, great. So thanks for asking the question.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Sandy.
Okay.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
It's Rebecca.
Dave, this is Tony.
Hey, Tony, and then I think it was Rebecca. I'll get you in a second, Rebecca.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. No, you're going with Tony,
right? Go ahead,
right?
Tony. Yep.
Oh, going. Oh, okay. Well, I was looking at something that happened recently where I think I was starting to feel vulnerable, have some feelings of vulnerability, and then the self-hate came in with a vengeance.
Oh, gosh, I bet.
Yeah, and then trying to look at it, it's like it seems like if I kind of do something expansive, if I do something expansive, then it after that's over, it starts scanning and looking for something I could have done wrong or something
absolutely.
To criticize me for.
And what's that all about, Tony? If you were to speculate.
Well. I used to think it was trying to help me be a better person. But I'm learning. I think it's to keep me small.
Absolutely.
I guess.
Yeah. Oh, don't you think so?
It seems like it.
It makes logical sense. You expand, and then this thing that's not you comes in to contract you.
Yeah.
It's perfect. You know, one of the things that I enjoy most about this practice that we do is to get it that this thing that we call conditioned mind. You know, it seems, especially in the beginning, it seems really big, really powerful. It seems really clever, you know, because it seems like no matter where you turn, there it is. And it's got some really compelling way to, you know, pull you out of the moment. But to get at that, it really isn't clever. And it's only as powerful as we allow it to be. And that, you know what I mean?
I'm seeing how that just by looking at it, starting to take some of the power out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like a machine. You know, it's not, you know, so anything, you mentioned two things, you know, expanding and becoming vulnerable, which in a way you could say those are two ways of talking about the same thing. You know, you're moving out of the world of conditioned mind into, you know, what we might say a place that's more authentically you or more in touch with what actually is here, however you want to talk about that. You know, you start to move away, and it kicks in the machine. That's what the machine responds to. You know, the design of the machine is to, whenever a person starts to get here, get present where life is and where all the possibilities are that we can enjoy when we're here, the machine kicks in with something that will pull us back out again.
Yeah. It was even trying to do it on the way. I was driving home thinking about this call, and it started in with just like, you know, I'm going to get home. There's going to be all this terrible news. And I don't know. It's like, it seems like it tries to really, I don't know how to say it, really goes for the jugular.
Absolutely. Yeah, you really hear about that. Sometimes people talk about, you know, something really horrible happens in their life, like maybe, you know, they lose their job, they lose somebody who's really close to them or something, and it's just, you know, the heart is open in a way that's just really, really painful. And even then, you know, the voices, especially then even, the voices will come.
Yeah.
And attempt to take advantage of that person in that situation. And seeing that happen in oneself, hearing about that happening to other people, after a while you just, you know, you have to sort of get it that this thing that we live with, it has no wish for our well-being at all.
Yeah.
In fact, it's the exact opposite. It is truly designed and is attempting all the time to cause us to suffer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's got a great way of blinding us, too. I loved what you said about, you know, the way it's set up is, well, this voice is supposed to make you into a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what you're taught to believe. And believing that, there's no way that you could become aware of it. You know, as long as you're believing that's true, you're never going to look and question, what is this exactly? Why am I listening to the authority of this voice? Maybe this actually isn't me. Maybe this is something else that I need to look at. But it's got this belief embedded inside of there that always keeps you looking in another direction. It always keeps you looking at you to you know, see how you're not measuring it up and to try to become a better person. And as long as it can keep you bamboozled in that way, you'll never actually catch on.
Oh, that's really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember that.
Yeah, right. And, of course, lucky for you, you did. I don't know how it happened for you, but at some point you did catch on. You know, at some point, you know, this is a little miracle that has happened with everybody who does practice. At some point, we woke up, you know, and we said, wait a second, what is going on here? And slowly but surely, over time as we practice, we start to really get what is happening inside that's causing us to suffer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing just that it's, how helpful it is just to be on the lookout for it and then to see it when it happens. That's huge, just that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a great way of describing what practice is. It's just paying attention. You know, we talk about all kinds of things in practice. You know, we have all these tools that we use. We'll be talking about a lot of those over the next couple weeks as we do these three calls. And we have a certain language, you know, we have a way that we have learned to look at conditioned mind and break it down and take it apart and see what's going on and everything. But really what it comes down to is simply, like you say, it's just simply paying attention, watching what goes on. If we're willing to do that, then eventually everything will be revealed to us. Everything about conditioned mind and what it does will be shown to us.
Wow. That's great. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. It is great. Good news.
Thank
Rebecca,
you.
Are you still out there?
Yeah, I still am. So the dominant voices that I've been noticing are one of just the grown-up, and then there are these other two that are one is very focused on death, and particularly my death, and the other is just very sad and lonely and feels just very depressed and alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like the grown-up doesn't really say a lot, but is there. You know, is just kind of there in encouraging me along.
Let me ask you about that for a second, so I can be clear. When you're talking about the grown-up, are you talking about a grown-up kind of in quotes, or are you talking more about the grown-up that would be, you know, close to who you really are?
Yeah, it would be like the one who's really a loving parent.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, kind of really the mentor, but it feels, I guess in a way, it feels like a parent more because so often I seem to be identified with the little one, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it just feels really like a safe grown-up who's looking out for things.
Okay, I got it. So you've got a grown-up there. You're going along in your life. You've got a grown-up, and you've got a couple of kids. One's scared to death, and one's just kind of sad.
Well, you know, it's not scared of death. It wants to die. I don't know that it's a subpersonality or if it's just sheer self-hate, but it talks to me about, you know, about ending my life and just my life's not going anywhere. I might as well be dead. I mean, just really, you know, really downer things like that.
Hard stuff.
Yeah, a lot of hard stuff. And your question about, kind of what's been going on in terms of the practice, and it's funny, or it's wonderful actually, that as when I looked at that, it was like the grown up is the one who's kind of keeping track of how often I'm touching in with the monastery. You know, it keeps track of my reflective listening calls. You know, am I doing that? And really making sure that I've got some backup.
It's kind of like a grown-up might, an actual grown-up might do with an actual child, where you're just kind of making sure, you know, that the child's eating well, getting enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wearing, you know, getting clean clothes to wear, you know, getting on the school bus in time.
Mm-hmm. Making sure she's eating the right foods. And you know, the monastery is kind of like the other parent in the family, so to speak. It's like the backup. It's like these two, the monastery and my mentor, are working as a team to make sure that I'm going to be okay through this.
That's really interesting to hear you say that. You know, what I just got, I don't know if this is your experience or not, but what I just got is they're really the same thing, aren't they?
Well, you know, I guess they are. I hadn't really considered that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, people often talk about, you know, when you come to center, you come to, what I mean by that, just for people who aren't familiar with the language, is, you know, you come to a place where everything's okay. You're not engaged with conditioned mind. You're not lost in a story about how there's something wrong, or, you know, kind of like these kids are that you were just mm-hmm. describing. You know, people, when you will talk about coming to there, and then there is no separation. You know, it's that which is center in me and that which is center in you is the same thing. And so it really makes sense what you're saying, you know, that which is here at the monastery, you know, the monastery is a physical manifestation of center. It's a place where center is what is the only thing really that matters. And that grown-up in you, it sounds like, really has the same perspective. That is what's most important in life. And in you, you know, in your individual life, there's that I don't know how to talk about it exactly, that being, we might say, that or better might be that compassion is there calling you back to what matters to you.
Yeah, but it's like that since we're on this physical world, and we are kind of in these individual bodies, it feels helpful to have this kind of symbiotic sort of act, you know?
Yeah, your own special, you know, compassion buddy.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, it really kind of points to the whole miracle that Sangha, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That it's really all the same in all of us, but we still need it manifest in each individual incarnation of people, you know, and things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Now,
so
what have the voices been saying about, you know, the monastery and participating and stuff? Have you noticed?
There are the occasional, oh my gosh, this is just too much, you know. You don't, but I'm kind of onto that, you know. They're not so potent, but you know, every now and then they get kicking up, and I'll check in with the monastery, like when I wasn't going to make a retreat, I thought it was too much, you know, I didn't have enough money, or I didn't, you know, whatever, and I would get guidance back from the monastery, and it was like, man, I was right there. I was right back. You know,
yep.
So it didn't take a lot to get me back, but
yeah.
I did need to check in, you know?
Yeah,
I really,
absolutely.
I was, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really need that support. Because, you know, it's, you know, I would project that this relationship you're having with a grown-up, you know, that's a result of a lot of practice, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I can't imagine that was very much available to you before you started doing this kind of work.
No, really not, yeah.
Yeah, and it is a practice, and you know, sometimes that that perspective is really available to us, and it's wonderful when it's like that. You know, we're just, it's like we're cruising along through life. Everything's wonderful. Everything works, even when the outside things don't line up in the way that it seems like, you know, we really wanted them to or whatever. Even that works. Do you know what I mean?
Say that again.
You're just going along, and everything works, and even when the content of life doesn't go exactly the way you want it to, you know, that kind of works too, because that's just all
of
our life.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. With...
And then other times, it's not so much like that.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Where things happen, you know, a lot of times it'll be an external thing that will trigger us and, you know, throw us out of, you know, the present moment. I mean, technically, it isn't the outside thing, really. It's the voices. You know, the voices
mm-hmm.
will use it as an opportunity, but it always seems like it's the outside thing. And then, you know, their conditioned mind has just about 10,000 ways at least to talk us back into being identified. And, you know, we start to go under. It sounds like you kind of had that experience in the story you were just talking about. You know, maybe believing the voice a little bit, oh, I really don't need to do this, it's too much or whatever, going under a little. But you know from your experience of practice that if you reach out to the monastery, the guidance you get will bring you back.
And that's where I've really seen that it is the same, because whatever got me to send that email asking for guidance or whatever, you know, is the same thing that really knew I was going to, or was pulling for me to get on the plane and come. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really the same one.
It really is.
Yeah, but,
it's, you know, Sherry wrote a whole book about that. That which we are seeking is causing us to seek.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one other thing that I feels important to me to say, and that is about what the grown-up has kind of, when this part of me that just wants me to die, just wants to, it just is working its very best to convince me that my life is just, you know, I'd just be better off dead in so many ways.
Right.
You know what has come in almost every single time is this very subtle, almost imperceivable reminder that I've grown very fond of my body, and anything I would do to hurt to take my life would hurt my body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been so I've just been so grateful for that cultivating of this love for my body
mm-hmm.
that has really taken lots of practice, you know?
Yeah, I bet.
And,
yeah,
it just seems really precious.
Yeah, it really is. That's wonderful. And we'll see as we go along about that, you know, that person you're talking about who you know, says she wants to die. You know, because if there's a couple possibilities there. One is, and you mentioned this at the beginning, you know, one is that is a part of you who has been there all along, who who need some assistance. You need to be rescued from the world that she lives in, and maybe, you know, you haven't quite found access to her yet.
Mm-hmm.
The other possibility, and this is the one you said, is it's just pure self-hatred. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just a way of, it's conditioning's way of attempting to pull you into a story that you believe that'll, you know, really, really cause some big impact to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That'll just be interesting to see as you go along. But I sense that, you know, what you've gotten from this is you know how to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
You don't want to leave that, really, for anything. And hopefully, you know, if there's other people inside who are not maybe not where they need to be or want to be, hopefully they'll be willing to jump in too.
Yeah, and that's one reason I really wanted to get in on this call and say it, because it just every time it's spoken, it's really sharpening my attention on that, and I want to keep reinforcing that. So thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Rebecca.
Yeah. Hi.
This is Janet.
Hey, Janet.
Hi. The assignment was really interesting because I've really been in a place of duality,
uh-huh.
Completely. And it, when I wrote everything down, it looked very much like self-hate. So
hey,
the
Janet, hang on just a second. Don't forget where you're going. I realized. That, you know, there might be some people on the call who are unfamiliar with the kinds of things you were talking about or the kind of things that Rebecca and I were just talking about. So let me explain that real quick, if you don't mind.
Nope.
So one of the things, one of the tools, I mentioned that we have a bunch of tools we use a little while ago. One of them is we call aspects of the personality. And so it helps to look to see how we are conditioned to see who the different people are. That we have inside. And we're going along in our day. Sometimes we're, you know, one person, sometimes we're another. And it's just good to see that because that has a big impact on our life. If we're what we call identified with a part of ourselves, then, you know, we'll see that person's worldview, we'll act from that person's beliefs, and we'll have that person's experience. And what we're attempting to do is step to a larger place than that. And you're talking about it being in a duality, so going back and forth, it sounds like, probably from two different, between two different points of view, two different people inside.
Yeah, and completely two different points of view, and something I never would have noticed before at all.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would have been caught in the, so I just made a little list here, and it was, you can't, you're not, you won't, don't even bother, you don't know, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's basically one side.
Okay.
And when I am identified with that place, when I'm hearing that and believing that, the sense I get is that, say life is flowing here to the right of me. So I'm standing there, life is flowing, life is happening alongside of me like a river would be.
But you're not a part of it.
No, I'm over to the left.
Oh, I see. Of course. Yeah, the river's flowing. There's all the joy and happiness you might want. Here's all the wonderful experiences, but you can't. You can't.
No, so I am not even, it's like I'm not even in that. I'm not in life. It's like this sense of move over, you stay here.
Yeah, which is so perfect because that is what happens when we believe conditioned mind. You know, so if you were to really believe it when you're on that side, you know, the way we talk about it is being identified there in that place, you actually are separate from life.
Yes.
All of your life, I mean, your life force is actually flowing too, but it's not flowing like the river. It's flowing into conditioned mind. You know, it's flowing into suffering. An image that we use a lot of time is like a parasite. You know, conditioned mind is like a parasite. When we give it our attention, then our life energy goes that way and it just kind of gobbles it up.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And then what the voices will say on the opposite side are, hey, why are you just standing there? Get going. What's the matter with you?
Uh-huh.
You know, you should be, you know, why aren't you? You know, you can't. Well, why aren't you? You know, uh-huh. So it's like complete insanity, really.
And, Janet, would you agree that on the second side, the result essentially is the same? That you're
Oh, yeah, because I'm still I'm still identified.
Absolutely.
Because
yeah.
I'm, then I'm like, oh my God, there's something wrong with me. Look at this is going on, and look where I am. I'm here, and I should be over there. And
yeah, and that's a really subtle awareness to get that, because we're not supposed to see that. It's supposed, you know, we have these two completely different points of view, so it's supposed to look like, well, they must be different, right?
Right.
One says stay, one says go. Those have to be different. There has to be a right and a wrong, and I need to somehow figure out which one it is.
Yes, and that's always huge for me, too.
Exactly.
I have to make this decision. One is right, one's wrong, and which one is it?
Completely. Well, that's the design of the little trap of duality, is you're stuck in the middle trying to figure out which is the right one. But to get it that they're actually the same thing.
Yes.
You know? That's what
yeah.
they're not. They're not different at all. They only look different. But they're actually the same thing. They have the same agenda, which is to pull you out of, in the way we're talking about right now, pull you out of the flow of life, separate you from what you really want so that you'll suffer.
Pull me out and make me small and make me, you know, unworthy and whatever else I could, you know, put words that could be put in there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it's sad, too, because, you know, a lot of people spend a lot of their lives in that place, you know. And, you know, and it is a small place, you know, to be believing those voices, but going back and forth, trying to find out the right way to do this life by listening to those authorities, always having it not work. You know, it can't work because you're not in the flow of life. You're the only thing that could possibly be working is that you're suffering, that conditioning is living off of your life force. So it's impossible for it to work. And it's sad when a human being gets stuck there. And it's wonderful, the awareness that we can bring to it and wake up to that, like as you're describing, and then just completely step out of the whole thing and have a whole different choice about where we want our life to go.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that the other part didn't get added on. Well, I can't believe you got stuck in this, you know.
Uh-huh.
Why are you getting stuck in this? And that didn't even go there. It was just like, this is almost hysterical when you're sitting writing it down, like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, and that brings in the other element. You mentioned self-hate a little bit earlier. So did Rebecca, actually. And that brings in that element, because self-hate is a big piece of that dynamic also. You know, if without the self-hate, don't you reckon pretty sooner or later you just kind of pop out of that? Because how long are you just going to go back and forth attempting to make something work that can't possibly work? You know, you're going to, without some kind of something to cause you to feel self-conscious and feel bad about yourself and keep your awareness all trapped up in what's wrong with you, how, you know, you would just kind of wake up and say, wait a second, I mean, this is silly. Why don't I just do this or this? It doesn't really matter. But self-hate, that's what self-hate does. It comes in and says, you're stuck. You know, there is something wrong with you. This is all your fault. And it just causes all of the attention and awareness that you have to be pulled down into this little bitty place that says, oh, my gosh, there must be something wrong with me. You
mm-hmm.
know, this is my fault. What's wrong with me? And from there, it's impossible to see what's actually going on.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other part, you know, about taking the class or, you know, participating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm hearing the same thing, dualities, like, you know, you'll probably forget to be on the call because, you know, this really isn't that important to you, and then noticing myself writing a note to make sure that I remember to be on the call. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't forget to do this,
No. But
I get the message that you don't really even participate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true. But you need to go get involved in other things, you know.
You need to take up badminton or something. Something's not quite so threatening.
Yeah. Why are you just, you know, why do you keep doing this all, you know, again and again?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a familiar pattern, you know, that
yeah.
I will be talked out of moving deeper into things because I need to move on to other things.
Well, and that's what you've got going for you, is that it's a familiar pattern. you know, because that's the result of the awareness that you've been bringing to it. You know, it's so great because, you know, in the way that you're describing this, you know, conditioning really doesn't have a chance. You know, it can put up a heck of a good fight for a really long time, but for someone who is determined to be present and pay attention and just do the practice without any standards or any place you're trying to get with that, it just gradually gets worn away. It becomes, as you pay attention, becomes more and more familiar, less and less believable, less and less able to, you know, surprise you and pull you out of the moment and into some kind of story that you'll suffer over. It's the best thing in the world. You know, just, oh, I know what this is. This is just conditioning doing its same old thing. I don't have to pay any attention to that. You know, that's the difference between, you know, a life that really works, you know, being in the flow, and a life that really doesn't, you know, being sitting there on the shore getting pounded by self-hatred.
Yeah, and I'm really finding that listening to the podcast and just taking a lot of my time just going, I never get tired of the podcast. It's like I'll hear something over and over, and it's like, oh, my God, I didn't even get that.
Yeah,
you know,
it's always new, isn't it?
It's always new, and I'm always surprised. And I'm, mm-hmm. you know, it's like I just can't get enough of it.
Yeah, and that's great. And that's great for all of us. I mean, there's a lot, I think, for us to feel grateful for because, you know, their conditioning can be really compelling. And it, you know, we've been, you know, lifetimes, you know, I think if you kind of think of things in those terms, getting here where we are. And, you know, the force of conditioning is really big. But to be able to reach out and take advantage of these different supports, that's what we need to do. And like you're saying, that's what we want to do. You know, once we get it that we don't want to suffer, you know, and that takes a while. I don't know if it took you a while. Sure, it took me a while. It's still taking me a while, actually. You know,
it still takes me a while.
You know, for a while it seems like, you know, suffering's looking pretty good, you know, compared to having to face up to all this, you know, these things I've been avoiding all my life. But, you know, to get it, what I want, actually, is to end suffering. Then the choice becomes a lot easier. Then we find ourselves, as you're describing, I think, you know, reaching out for those supports, knowing what they will give us and knowing that we really want to take advantage of them.
Yeah, and just the one other thing is that it really, for me, is been that, what, going farther and...
going farther, faring worse?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's exactly what it feels like because I have just spent a long time being like, I love my life. Things are really going well. This is just, you know, I've been feeling really expansive, all of that, and then boom, it's like, whoa, where am I?
Uh-huh.
You know, just got knocked by a 2x4. Like, oh, wait a minute.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because there's so many ways to talk about it. You know, tonight we're kind of talking about it in a really, you know, kind of positive, upbeat way, and you can also talk about it the same thing in terms, almost from conditioning's point of view. You know, because a lot of the other way to talk about it is, you know, it's a fight to the death. You know, it's the hardest thing a person could ever possibly do. It takes more willingness than, you know, most of us think we could possibly ever have. In the times when life is flowing and you're not believing the voices, it's easy.
Yeah.
In the times when the voices are really strong and we're really believing the voices, then, you know, it can be, like you're saying, it can be a really, really tough go.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've definitely been there.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be again, probably.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's okay, isn't it? Because
but it seems like
practice.
It seems like even if I'm there, there'll be some place where I'll know that it's not true.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just seems to me that it will never be completely, I'll never be completely unconscious again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you've changed. You know, you've gone from, I would imagine, if you're like me or like just about everybody else, you've gone from someone who we can't say did not have that experience of being present and what that is, but having it be such a long lost, forgotten, don't know where it is kind of a thing that it seems like it was just kind of a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going from that to someone who knows it, but not knows it in the head, not knows it like, you know, 2 + 2 = 4 or something like that, but knows it from experience, knows it, you know it because it is you. It is a part of what you are now. And so no matter what happens, you know, no matter how much you might believe the voices and suffer and fall into old patterns and you're surviving and having a horrible time, like you say, there will always be this knowing in down in the depths of you that it's all running past, and sooner or later you'll wake up.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, good.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks a lot, Janet.
Hi, Dave.
This is Mike.
Let's see, I didn't catch any names there. Who is this?
Steve?
Anna?
Hi, hey, Anna.
And Michael.
Hey, Michael, you're next.
Okay.
Go ahead, Anna.
So this has been really helpful for me. I feel like I'm... So I would like to talk about what came up when I was looking at trying to get support through Sangha.
Okay.
Because it feels like, I don't know, I just want to kind of say out loud what it is that's going on around
okay.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the story is that, it's not real. I'll be missing out. It's boring. It's a waste of time. What I really need to be doing is going out and starting these new things and, being with friends and doing activities and all this other things. And that practice is not that. Practice is this, like, boring thing. And if there's nothing else to do, then okay, fine, you can sit. You can, participate.
Practice is really the only kind of thing to do if you're, kind of a loser and don't have any social life.
Totally. That's exactly what the voices are doing.
Uh-huh.
Yep. and as I sit here right now and I'm participating, the experience of it is, this is so great. My heart is open. It's so beautiful to hear, to be with people in this way. It's... what a privilege, all these sorts of things. But and the story of this other story, somehow I get really identified with it.
Yeah, of course. Well, as you're meant to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course we do.
Yeah.
And that's practice is getting involved with conditioned mind and then seeing through it and getting involved again and seeing through it and just gradually wearing it away.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say it out loud that's what's going on because it's like the voices want it to be a problem that's what's going on, that that's not what it should be going on, and that the fact that that is what's going on means blah 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 blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, and it doesn't have anything to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
And
so Anna, how would you describe? So what the voices are saying, a bunch of stuff that's not true.
Right.
You can see that.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it sounds like, it does seem like it's kind of true. But right now, you can see that that's just a bunch of baloney.
Right.
So how would you say for yourself what is true?
What's occurred to me during this call, which I'm not sure has anything to do with the question you asked, but it's like there's this like longing for connection.
Mm-hmm.
And conditioned mind has this idea about what connection looks like and what will bring me connection and whatever. And practice is really one way that I really do feel connected.
Uh-huh.
to myself and to all that is. And so it's, I think that's what's so.
Yeah, so what's true for you is that practice is what connects you with yourself and with all that is.
Mm-hmm.
That seem right?
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and,
mm-hmm.
and I can hear in that, a real love of practice and a real love of the kind of life experience that practice provides for you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
This would be a good one, this is the kind of thing Sherry always does, but it really works. This would be a good one to, put that on gigantic poster paper.
Yeah.
You know, because I can pretty much guarantee, although you've really seen it tonight in this call, I'm sure you've seen it before too, but you've really seen it for what it is as we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's pretty likely that you'll go out and conditioning will start, talking to you about this and talking to you about that, and just trying to pull the wool over your eyes and lure you back into sleep, because that's just what the voices do. So it might be really helpful in some really prominent place in your, write it in on your mirror in your bathroom or something. Here's what's true. I love practice. However you want to say that. Practice is what connects me with myself. Practice is what brings me what I really want in my life. You have to, the voices are talking to you. They gotta run it past that sign.
It occurs to me that putting up the sign will also be a good check-in as to who's here. Because I'm sure sometimes I'll look at the sign and be like, yes! And sometimes I'll look at the sign and be like, who put that crazy thing up on my mirror?
Exactly.
It's just a good
voice. I can't think of the right word. It's not voice producer, but, it puts the voices in relief. You stand in front of the sign and just see what's going on in your mind, and you'll be able to find out really quickly what the voices are saying and the difference between the voices and you, which, of course, is a fundamental difference.
Yeah. And just the other thing I saw during the exercise is it feels like what conditioning is doing is trying to, get momentum, it's two of the things that have been coming up for me are like anxiety and sort of like insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it like tries to get me moving. It feels like my thoughts are racing, even like physically, like doing all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that whole thing really just keeps me away from myself.
Absolutely. Yeah, anything but to be still.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're still, if you actually, you're racing around, your mind spinning, everything, if you were just to stop suddenly and not do anything, all that stuff, it's just going to keep on going. Your mind's going to still be racing, the voices are going to still be going on, but because you've stopped, you'll be able to see it. It's trying to just racing through your life all the time. Always heading towards the next, this is why it's so big, the next car, the next promotion, the next thing I really want, the next relationship, all of these kinds of things. That's why they're so urgent and so popular, is because we're all, as conditioned people, that's the race we're in. We're running as fast as we can from stillness and from anything that's actually going to connect us with what's really going on, with center, with what we're really looking for, because we're so terrified that if we stop, this is what the voices say. If you stop, what you're going to find out is you're no good. Life is no good. This is all a big lie. But of course, that's not what we find out at all. If we actually stop, life is wonderful. There is nothing wrong. There is no reason to be unhappy in the entire world.
Yeah. Thanks. This is really great to hear. It just keeps, it's like every time I hear it, it's like I've never heard it before, which I understand is I haven't ever heard it before from here. But it still surprises me.
It's kind of fun, though.
Yeah.
It keeps life interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. It does.
You've heard it a million times, but you've never heard it from exactly where you are right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good to hear it from here.
It is.
Okay.
And, you want to, of course, just like everybody, take advantage of as many of the supports as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Call tonight. I don't know if you're doing the Reflective Listening Buddies program.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Are you? Oh, that's super.
Yeah.
There's the radio show, there's reading books and to listen to the podcast and all those kind of things, to have a little, conditioning is going to, has a full-time campaign going to, talk you into the stories that it, tells us. And so you can have a full-time campaign on the other side to be present and remember what's really true for you.
And what's so fun, I feel so grateful to have these opportunities, and I do have a lot of supports in my
am I life for practice?
Mm-hmm.
And this is also going on, and I just feel so grateful that I have these supports, because I don't know where I would be without them. You know, I mean, because this process is going on. It feels really, really real when I'm in it, and I have all these supports for myself to get out of it. And there's a sense, like what you were saying with Janet, is there's a sense that I know that it's not so, and yet it still feels so real.
It's true. Yeah. Well, we have a lot to feel grateful for. I have a little routine every night that I do. The last thing I do before I go to bed is I say my gratitudes, and that's the number one thing that I always say is I'm just so grateful to have this opportunity, because you know, we know where we would be without it. We would be really unhappy with no idea about what to do about that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. Michael, are you still there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Great. I want to add on to the gratitude to start. It's amazing that I can make a phone call and be in, you know, group discussion. It's just amazing.
I know. That's great, isn't it? Yeah, it's exciting. The possibilities that are opening up to us in this area are really pretty neat.
Yeah, it's a great privilege. And what I've noticed, I was doing the exercises, writing them down today, and what I noticed was wrong life, content A, wrong life, content B, wrong life, content C. You don't have to get very far to realize the common denominator for that.
I'm sorry, I didn't follow you, Mike. Wrong life, did you say?
I'm sorry, wrong, as in...
Oh, wrong
not,
life.
Not, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
I'm not living the right life in this area, I'm not living the right life in this area, and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we have a practice of paying attention, then it's really helpful to see what the common denominator is to that.
Yeah, well, at least it's simple, huh?
Yes. When I have an exercise, you know, or a practice that assists me to look in that direction, it does make it a lot simpler.
Yeah, well, it does, and the message itself is simple. You know, that's we were talking about that a little bit earlier in the call, that, you know, conditioning is like a machine. It really doesn't have a whole lot of tricks. It's a bag of tricks.
Yes.
It's actually pretty small. It has an incredible way of disguising what it's doing and making
yes.
it new all the time. But it really only can do just a small handful of things to pull us out of the moment. And, you know, so you get something like that. Well, the prevailing message is wrong life. Okay, well, that actually makes it really simple and pretty manageable. Do I believe that's true? You know, I listen to the voices. Does that really seem so? Well, not really. You know, from center, that doesn't seem so. I don't guess. You haven't really said that. But, I don't have to listen to that. End of story.
Yes. And one piece of that that's really helpful for me is that the program never really changes. You know, it's content A, B, C, and it just says the same thing every time.
Yep.
And so, you know, there's no, I've heard Sherry talk about it, there's no life in that. There's nothing, doesn't feel like there's, you know, there's nothing trying to help me there. There's nothing trying to assist me in getting free of that.
Yeah, there's nothing original in it that could you can't change the program on you. It's really just kind of stuck doing the same thing over and over and over again forever.
Mm-hmm. That's what it seems like. And there's no, I don't know why this comes up, but there's no gratitude in it. There's nothing that takes me to a kind of more open-hearted, more generous kind of place.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Well, it, like we were saying earlier in the call, I mean, that's it takes all of that life force. You know, it takes that open heart and in a way kind of opens up to unhappiness, and then in through that hole, all of your life force pours out into conditioned mind.
Yes. And I've noticed something a little bit recently. It seems like the voices were there, and I was kind of less engaged with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the story switched. It was kind of like, well, you know, where's the drama in life? You know, where's the juice?
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how, as you know, it turns on a dime. situations change, it's like, you know, a half second there behind with the new program.
Yeah, and we've really got to stay on top of it, don't we, to keep up and know what's going on.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And thank goodness there's this practice that's reaching out in all these amazing ways, you know, so that I can sit here on my cell phone and receive it.
Yeah, it is. And let me ask you the same question I asked Anna, Michael, if you don't mind. You know, in the area of wrong life, you know, if you look at your life, you know, figuring that that's false, you know, that's just a self-hating message from conditioned mind. And if you step back from that a little bit and look at your life, what would you say is true?
That it's getting bigger and bigger in ways that are very threatening to conditioning.
Yeah. Yep. Boy, that's good to see, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what's actually going on. You're threatening the system.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see as you say that there's been there still is, of course, kind of an illusion of control and an illusion that somehow I should be able to kind of manage all this content or at least kind of see where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of management or that perspective really puts it in quite a small box.
It does. Yeah, that's not what you're being asked to do at all, is it?
Yeah.
You're being asked to get off the shore and jump in the river.
Right, just like Janet, yeah. Here comes the river. Here's our chance.
Yeah, just grab hold of your nose and go.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. It's a great privilege. And, you know, for me, one of the huge benefits of this call is that for me to be present to it, I have to drop everything else.
Yeah. You mean all the stuff in your life?
All the self-hate and conditioning and the voices. And, you know, for me to be here and participate, I can't have my attention on that.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's interesting. I hadn't really thought about that. But that third question that we put out, you know, what have the voice been saying about participation? You know, everybody who's on the call, we could imagine, saw through whatever the voices were saying to some degree.
Yes.
Because if, you know, if you believe the voices, you wouldn't be here.
Yes. So thank you again and again.
Yeah, and thank you too, Michael.
You're welcome.
Dave?
Hi, this is Aparna.
Anna? Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Oh, it's Aparna.
It's Aparna. Hey, Aparna, how are you?
I'm good. It was interesting to hear Michael and you talking about participation because I feel that third question about how do you feel about participating and opportunities to participate with Sangha, I feel a little guilty when that kind of question comes up and I think about participation because I feel like I've been absent.
I see. Now, the question actually was, what do the voices say?
Yes.
Or is that what the... Do you see the difference there?
Yes, I do. Well, and the voices, well, it's part of the cycle of conditioning, of course, because the voices start when they see questions like that, which is a familiar refrain for me, which is, you're too busy.
Uh-huh. And you should feel bad about that.
Well, and then it goes into really how, you know, then they talk to each other and they have their own dialogue of,
mm-hmm.
well, really, how busy are you? And is that a good reason for you not to have participated?
Mm-hmm. So you get a little beating there for it.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And a little judgment on how much I have been participating or haven't been.
Uh-huh. And what's true in all that, would you say?
What's true is I have been doing the best I can.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems quite different, doesn't it, from what the voices are saying?
Yeah. And it doesn't, it leaves more room when I look at it from there to have the best I can look different tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That now, would you like to participate more? From your heart.
Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, I'm very susceptible to the voices coming in and as, you know, I project lots of people on the call have, you know, similar things of all sorts of distraction and all sorts of things come in and move me away from stillness. And in stillness, I can see that this is what I want. But if I don't give myself the stillness, then I don't have the chance to see that this is really what my heart wants.
Yeah, well, and it's hard, isn't it, when when there's such a campaign going on the part of the voices. A lot of times it is hard to break through that and access even the understanding of what we really want, much less to be able to make real choices for that.
Yeah, and I feel like it's really kept me silent. So I've been participating, but you know, I moved away from the Bay Area, so I stopped going physically to Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as every day or week or month goes by that there hasn't been a physical presence, you know, I somehow feel like I'm almost embarrassed to speak up. That's why I wanted to speak up today, because it's so easy to get on the call and just be silent.
Yep.
Or to, you know, have written it in my calendar and thought I was going to get on the call, but then something comes up and you don't get on the call, but really nobody notices because, you know, they can't see you.
Exactly. Yeah, the trouble is you notice, don't you?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a great big good for you because, you know, you're really going up against the voices with this, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't feel so much like it until I started talking, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like the voices are content with you kind of hanging out in the background because you can be back there and it can feed you all those lines about how you're not really participating and beat you up for that and make you feel bad and stuff. And it's getting pretty, lots of good juice from that. But for you, you know, it's interesting because, you know, even like in this call, you're making a physical presence in this. You know, you're adding your voice to the conversation. You're here in the call, you're participating. And that is something, sounds very much like conditioning has been not okay with at all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's hard to see it like that when I'm just listening. It's easy to be listening to the call in one ear and still having voices come in the other ear.
Listening to the voices with the other one, yep.
And so, yeah, I just felt like I needed to break the silence, so to speak, my own silence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
and
is,
say,
that great.
You know, and say, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just because participation looks different doesn't mean that it's not as valuable.
Exactly, yeah. Well, and I hear a freedom in it maybe to make some choices, some actual choices for yourself, like you did tonight, you know, because who knows what participation might look to you like once you pull the voices out of the equation. And who knows what might be possible for you, in other words.
Yeah, and I feel like it's been so subtle. Like each sort of step away from participation, and before I know it, you know, I'm so far away from where my heart would like to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because you stop participating in one way, it's easy for me to believe the story that the voices like to sell of, oh, you can do this, you can do that. It doesn't matter if you don't, you know, participate in this email class because you'll do this other thing.
Right.
Or you'll stay connected this way.
Yeah. You know what's in your future now, don't you?
Yeah.
Yep.
More. Yeah.
More. Yeah. Really, it's true. And not from, you know, the other side of the duality, like we were talking about earlier. Not because the voice might try to talk you into it or anything like that, but because that's what you really want.
Yeah.
To go
up
against the voices, to find out that you are stronger than they are, that you actually can make choices in your life, you know, that you have the power to lead the life that you want to live and not the life that conditioned mind wants you to live. You know, you can be free instead of suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, and to feel like, or to know, I guess, that the community is there no matter how the what the participation looks like.
Yeah, for sure. Well, your condition is the only one who cares about that.
Yeah.
Nobody else does. Yeah. I mean, it's just using that. It's just a stick it's got to beat you up with. But like you say, you know, you're doing the best you can. And you would like to see if there's a way that you can do more. And, of course, the way that you'll create the space for that, and if you've done in a big way that tonight, is to see the voices for what they are. You know, see that they're attempting to talk you out of what you really want for yourself.
Yeah, and I like how you say, you know, want to do more, because when I say the phrase, you know, doing the best you can, the phrase that comes up from conditioning is, you can do better.
Right.
Rather than you can do more.
Exactly, because we're not talking about doing better, are we?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's just
exactly.
More conditioning. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to let your, what you're going to be practicing is letting your heart choose some. Letting your heart lead you in the direction that you want to go, rather than being kind of pushed around by conditioned mind.
Yeah, and I'm really grateful for this, to be able to sort of step back in with my voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because
and hopefully
there'll be lots of
opportunities for that. We've got, we've got two more of these workshop sessions that we'll have on the next two Wednesdays. I don't know if you saw, there's also a money class that's going to go on for a good 3 months, maybe longer, and that starts in mid-April. And that'll be another thing that's going on. And, of course, there's always the radio show and lots of ways, more and more ways all the time to participate, and if we get what we want, and I think we probably will, you know, we'll be creating lots and lots of more avenues for people to be able to participate, like you're talking about, from wherever they might be.
Yeah, so I'm really grateful for the chance to not feel so far away.
Mm-hmm. Great. Super.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Aparna. Okay, my goodness, we are out of time already. So let me say a couple things before I let you go. One is thank you very much for being here tonight and taking your hour and 20 minutes out of your life to be here and share yourself with Sangha, whether you spoke tonight or not. And we really are grateful for it, and we're really excited about all the possibilities that are in front of us as a Sangha to support each other through, you know, whatever times that each of us are in. And so what will happen now with this particular class, so we'll end our call now, and then what I'd like to ask you to do between now and next Wednesday, for the next couple days, keep on with the same work. Keep on looking at the voices like we were talking about tonight, and what the voices are saying, what the voices are saying about participation. And then you notice at the end of the conversation there, I was you know, emphasizing a little bit, well, what's true? So begin to look at what's true. You know, here's what the voices say. You know, here are the lies that the voices tell us, or that they're telling you in particular. What's actually true? And then, so work on that for a few days, and then somewhere around Friday, Saturday, you'll get another email with your next assignment for the next class. And I believe that's it for tonight. So thanks again, and we will look forward to talking with you again next Wednesday. Good night.